Quick Take Northwest, regional news for the terminally switched on, from Oregon Public Broadcasting. This is OPB Radio's Quick Take Northwest for Friday, November 3rd, 2006. I'm April Baer. Good morning. It has been fast and furious in the newsroom this week. We're cramming in all the election news that we possibly can so that you can get your homework done before you send that ballot in. I'm doing my best to get it all in on air in the mornings, but just so you know, the longer features that have been filed on the campaigns are posted at opb.org/elections. There's also a handy series of measure minutes that explain the various ballot initiatives that are up statewide this year. Again, all this can be found at opb.org/elections. In our news, Oregon's Secretary of State is predicting a 71% turnout for the Tuesday election. That's 3 points higher than the last midterm election in 2002. Secretary Bill Bradbury, who's a Democrat, says that voters will be turning out for the contested race for governor and multiple ballot measure campaigns. Bradbury adds that the 21-day voting period that's created by Oregon's vote-by-mail system allows campaign phone banks and door knockers to target people who are waiting to vote.
I mean, I tried it one time. I specifically did not return my ballot until Election Day. And I could not believe the number of calls that I received. Are you going to vote? Are you going to vote? We want you to vote. We want you to vote. It was just phenomenal.
Bradbury's colleague up in Washington, Secretary of State Sam Reed, is predicting 67% eligible voters in his state will either mail in a ballot or get to a polling place. Idaho's Secretary of State predicts voter turnout at 60%. By the way, the boards of elections are warning it's probably not a good idea to wait too long to mail in your ballot if you don't intend to drop one off in one of the special boxes. In Oregon, the rule is your ballot has to be into an elections office by Election Day. In Washington, your ballot must be postmarked on Election Day, and the difference is pretty significant. It's especially an issue in rural areas. Wherever you live, you might want to double-check the rules before you send your ballot in. There's a new poll out this morning showing that the tightly contested Oregon governor's race is still terribly tight, although incumbent Democrat Ted Kulongoski may be pulling ahead slightly. The poll was conducted by Davis, Hibbett, and Midgehall and was paid for by the Oregonian and K2TV. 600 likely voters were surveyed by telephone. 46% said they'd support Ted Kulongoski. 39% said they'd go for his Republican challenger, Ron Saxton. Now, this poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4 percentage points. It is conceivable they could be dead even, but it looks like Kulongoski might have a bit of an edge, according to this poll. Also, Constitution Party candidate Mary Sterrett was favored by 6% of the voters surveyed, possibly enough to have a slight spoiling effect. 7% of voters surveyed were still undecided. Senator Ron Wyden announced some details yesterday about his plan to try to get more attention to the issue of benzene in Oregon's air. He says he's going to block President Bush's nominee to head the legal division of the EPA. Lee Garnett reports.
Benzene is an organic chemical that occurs naturally in crude oil and is known to cause cancer. Oil from the Alaskan slope has higher concentrations of benzene than most petroleum, and that's the source of Oregon's gasoline. EPA has proposed a regulatory scheme that Senator Wyden says will not relieve the Northwest of its high levels of benzene.
I'm going to do everything I can to stop this regulatory shell game. In effect, the federal government is saying that our part of the country should essentially be some kind of environmental sacrifice zone.
Wyden will exercise his senatorial power of putting a hold on an executive nomination. In this case, the nominee is Roger Martella. It would take 60 senators to unlock Martella for a confirmation vote. Lee Garnett, OPB News.
In other environmental stories we're following, an abandoned mercury mine south of Eugene is the target of a cleanup funded by U.S. EPA. Officials are hoping that the project will have far-reaching effects. Chris Lehman explains.
The Black Butte mine near Cottage Grove closed in the 1970s, but mercury and arsenic remain scattered about the site. Officials say the contamination is washing into several nearby streams. Those streams are part of the Columbia River watershed. The runoff has also led the state to issue warnings about eating fish caught in a local reservoir. The EPA's Socorro Rodriguez says it's unclear how long the cleanup will take.
Cleaning up abandoned mines, it's a very complex effort. And it's not something, unfortunately, that happens overnight, but it is happening.
The cleanup is set for next spring, but it's not a full-blown cleanup. The EPA is simply trying to contain the contamination so it won't continue to enter nearby waters. The project will cost close to $1 million. I'm Chris Lehman reporting.
City officials in Hermiston are trying to head off the potential problem of remote control trains running through their town. The city wants to block Union Pacific Railroad from enacting a plan for remote control trains. Mayor Bob Severson called the idea outrageous and has been complaining to the Federal Railroad Administration. Last month, the city manager wrote a letter to railroad officials objecting to any operations of remote control trains in town. Union Pacific officials say that there has been no test run so far and denied that one was scheduled. Federal rules prohibit remote control operations on main lines, but the track in question in Hermiston is actually a 14-mile branch line. Five farmers from the Hermiston area have just done something to ensure that food banks in Oregon and Southwest Washington will have no shortage of frozen peas for a little while. The group has donated 173,000 pounds of peas. It's the first act of a charitable project called Farmers Ending Hunger. Board member Jim Ude says that growers realize that a new bridge is needed to supply area food banks.
Many of the traditional sources of food donations to go through food banks and to hungry folks are being reduced as we've lost processors in the Northwest for a variety of reasons.
Ude says that the pea farmers who are behind this first big donation agreed earlier in the year to donate 1-3% of what they grow to the needy. The Farmers Ending Hunger group would like to expand into beef and wheat if they can find some willing producers and processors in those industries. Records are showing that more Portland high schoolers than ever before are telling military recruiters not to contact them this school year. Rob Manning reports.
Under the federal No Child Left Behind Act, high school principals are required to turn over student information to military recruiters. Students who ask not to be contacted can be taken off the lists. Last year, 47% of juniors and seniors in Portland public schools officially opted out of contact from military recruiters. This year, that number cleared 60%. No one tracks the number statewide, and not all school districts do, but there are indications that the trend is not unique to Portland. For instance, at North Salem High, 1 in 5 juniors opted out of military contact last year. As seniors at North Salem this year, 1 in 3 students asked off the recruiter's list. School officials in Portland and Salem say that the bad news coming out of Iraq may be dampening interest in hearing about the military. Rob Manning, OPB News.
Time now to plug into sports news for a minute. The Portland Trailblazers will try to make it 2 road victories tonight, visiting the Golden State Warriors in Oakland. Portland opened the season by ending a 16-game losing streak with a victory at Seattle. The Warriors haven't been playing that well, but they have managed to beat the Blazers the last few times the teams have matched up. In college football, the Oregon State Beavers are just coming off their huge victory over USC last week. They'll have to be on their guard against a letdown as they face an up-and-down Arizona State team tomorrow. The Sun Devils got off to a quick start, but then stumbled, dropping 3 games to California, Oregon, and USC. One of the reasons for the Sun Devils' limited success is their quarterback, Rudy Carpenter. Over the past 2 games, he's completed 80% of his passes with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. Elsewhere, the Portland State Vikings will be looking to clinch a 3rd straight winning season, visiting Northern Arizona tomorrow afternoon. The Vikings enter the matchup with a 5-4 record. 2 of those losses are to Pac-10 conference teams. PSU also needs a win to strengthen its chances for a Division I AA playoff berth. Forecast suggests that this might just be the weekend when you should consider hauling that sun lamp out of the closet. Looks like rain today and through the weekend for the coast and the valley. It's calmer in the valley today, but still blustery by the coast, with some beach wind speeds reaching 30 miles per hour. A little warmer out there today. Our highs will be in the upper 50s and lower 60s. The Cascades are expecting snow above 7,000 feet. The precipitation continues all through the weekend, with temperatures holding steady. Today, Central Oregon's got scattered rain for the morning, becoming more numerous rain showers in the afternoon. Highs in the 50s. Similar story in the Eastern Gorge. Temperatures 52 to 57 with rain on the increase throughout the day. Farther east, it's quite foggy this morning in Harney and Malheur counties. Cloudy conditions over all the east with rain showers, especially in the mountains. Our only snowfall seems to be in Baker County this morning. For the rest of the day, just scattered rain and highs in the 50s. Over the weekend, the east side of the Cascades is going to be relatively warm with highs from 55 to the mid-60s and a chance of rain dropping in now and then. Looking at this weekend's calendar, Blue Note recording artist Dr. Lonnie Smith is playing Jimmy Max in Portland tomorrow night. You know, I sure wish I had time to play all his records for you. What a huge talent. This music we're hearing today is People Sure Act Funny, a title with which I couldn't agree more, and it's off of his release from last year entitled Turning Point. See the Quick Take page if you'd like to go to the show. It should be downright incendiary. Let me hep you to something else that you really should hear. This afternoon, OPB is running a special new series at 2 p.m. on Fridays. It's called Radiolab, and it takes on science the way that sports cars take on the Gorge Scenic Highway. The co-producer and host of the series is Robert Krolwich, one of the true mad scientists of public radio. Love this guy's work. He has a way of making the most impossible stories sound incredibly clear and funny. Today, Radiolab's taking a spin through the history of time. We'll make stops at key moments that changed how we perceive time's passage, like high-speed photography. Also, some conversation about the relativity of time, that is to say, how time for you is different than time for me. The famous neurologist Oliver Sacks and a physicist will explain how they differ on this one. And there's a piece on the experience of listening to Beethoven's Ninth for 24 hours straight, but only hearing it once. Don't miss Radiolab. Again, it's at 2 o'clock on OPB today. And if you can't be next to a radio, don't forget that you can always stream the program online. Tonight, Bend's Roller Derby League is doing a benefit for a local food bank, also in Bend. Literary events associated with the nature of words are continuing. Here's what's happening in Portland over the weekend. In addition to the Lonnie Smith Show tomorrow at Jimmy Max, you've got the gorgeous sounds of Capella Romana, a Northwest vocal ensemble that you heard here on the podcast earlier in the week. Mark Bailey is going to be conducting Tchaikovsky's Divine Liturgy and assorted works from the Slavic tradition. We've got Biz Markie playing a show at the PSU Ballroom tonight at 8 p.m. This is an all-ages event. And also Mouse on Mars is at the Doug Fir Lounge. One quick note looking ahead to Sunday. I think it might be sold out at this point, but Frank Rich, the New York Times Scourge specialist, is going to be speaking at a literary arts lecture. Definitely a hot ticket. Info for all these events is listed on today's Quick Take page. Find it online at opb.org in the radio area. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. I leave you to your weekend, my friend. Signing off from cyberspace, I'm April Baer.